All right. Well, hey, welcome to our very first Sunday service inside of our new building. Yay! Yay! You're here. You get to see it in all of its glory. There's still a lot to be done, but hey, if you've got to be home, let's give you the best of what we have. And we wanted to give you a little surprise and kind of show you what our building looks like. So we've got a balcony up there, lots of room for little rugrats to go nuts out here, lots of space. We got a brand new stage. It's awesome. Pastor Zach just spilled the blood of Jesus over there on it. So our stage has been christened.
It's been christened.
The blood of Jesus. He spilled his communion cup on our brand new concrete. This is why we can't have nice things. I wanted to say thank you to all of you that are tuning in, watching us online. It has been a crazy week with all kinds of opportunities for ministry. We have tons of people that are calling, asking, how can I help? I want to give you some updates on what we're doing as a church before we get into God's Word. And just to tell you thank you. You're an amazing church. I love that when disaster hits, that when calamities strike, we don't have to wait to take up an offering. I don't have to come before you and appeal to you to give us extra money, because you are a generous church. I know that you're tithing, you're going to be faithful in your giving. And because of you and because of your generosity, we were able to reach out to Highway 80, and we asked many of our friends that are there in the Highway 80 Rescue Mission, what do you guys need? How can we help? And they said, well, actually, somebody dropped off a huge pallet of pancake mix, but we don't have syrup, and we would love some syrup. And I said, we got you covered. My church will absolutely make sure that you're taken care of. So we have delivered a ton of syrup, yeah. Random needs, to Highway 80 Rescue Mission, because that's what they needed. Thank you so much for being a generous church. Thank you for not forgetting us during times of crisis and fear. While the world is afraid of what's happening to their money, you're still giving. And thank you so much. That means a ton to us that are working so hard to bring relief to so many that are there. We've reached out to some nursing homes, giving them the things that they need, asking them to keep us updated. We also have a call in through the Red Cross. We're going to be telling you more about that this week, because they are desperately low on blood. So they're going to need the blood of the sons and daughters of Jesus to refill some of their lacking supplies. So we will give you the date of when that will happen. As of right now, we're coordinating with a ton of churches, by the way. I met online with 14 churches yesterday, brainstorming of how we're going to make this better for our people. I've got, I think, 9 churches tomorrow that were on a video phone call. Let me just tell you. They said pastors would never work together in East Texas, and by God, it is happening right now. And it's a shame that it's taken this, but God positioned us for this moment. God is giving us the ability to join in with other pastors and come up with creative ways to help people right where they are. So I want to thank you personally for not giving up on us. Thank you for joining us at home. And even though it's not how we would want it, we're going to give you the best of what we got. And thank you for continuing to support us with your faithful generosity, with your tithes and with your offerings. Thank you so much for that. I want to let you know, we've had a lot of questions about groups. Are groups still meeting? As of right now, groups as they are not meeting. We're gonna change that, but we're launching something that we hope is going to be really, really cool. We've gotten very creative, and we are launching High Ridge Tribes. High Ridge Tribes. Yes. These are online groups that are gonna be happening. We will give you a ton of information as we are putting that together. Once again, we don't have all the answers, but we're moving as fast as we can to make sure that our people stay connected to one another and that nobody falls through the cracks. This is who the church is. So to make sure that you're up to the minute, that you're in the know of what we're doing, we need you to do something. On your cell phone, I need you to text HRC text to the number 94090. 94090. So text HRC text to 94090, and that'll put you on our text mailing list to make sure that we can get you everything that that we have. As soon as we get it, you'll be up to date. And I think that's all I have for you. There is one more need. Highway 80 Rescue Mission has asked us if it's possible to give them alcohol-free hand sanitizer. As many of you may understand from an addiction background, you can't give an addict or someone that's addicted to alcohol something with alcohol in it. So they need hand sanitizer, but it has to be alcohol-free. So if that just happens to be something that you look around your house, you're like, hey, I had 14 pallets of alcohol-free hand sanitizer. Maybe that's you. I don't know. But this is what we need that for. And so if that's something that is interesting to you, do not drop that off at our church. You can go straight to Highway 80 Rescue Mission. Yeah. On Highway 80. You can walk in there. They have an office in the front. You can drop it off and not be violating any other rules. As are many people in this city, they're on lockdown. They're in quarantine mode, trying to make sure that their people are taken care of. And if you would like to help out in that way, that's a great way to help. So let's turn our attention to the Word of God. I want to thank you for what you're doing. A couple of passages of Scripture, Proverbs chapter 4, and Genesis chapter 1. So right in the middle of your Bible, if you're new to your Bible, right in the middle, you'll find the book of Proverbs, either to the right or to the left, but right there in the middle. And then all the way back at the beginning is Genesis chapter 1. And I want to tell you, as we get into this, God has turned up the volume of our church. Last week when we went online, we broke records for more people watching that sermon than we have ever seen in the history of our church. Not only did four campuses come together, but we had over 8,000 views on Facebook alone. An incredible amount of people that were finding strength and hope and encouragement as we're talking about living biblically in a digital age and what God is saying to the church. And I want to just tell you, we're going to continue on with this series because God has supernaturally positioned us to give you something that I think is going to help you this week. Back in January of this year, God spurred it onto our hearts and the hearts of our leadership to talk about some certain things right at this time. And it is so awesome that God knew what was coming and positioned us for this word at this time. So a lot of this comes from Proverbs chapter 4. Starting in verse 7, it says, "The beginning of wisdom is this, get wisdom. Though it cost you all that you have, get understanding." There's a lot of confusion in our world today. There is a lack of wisdom. They say common sense is not so common. But especially when times get dark, when it's moments of crisis, wisdom goes out the door. People freak out and they do dumb things. We're human. They say to err is human, right? Well, there's a lot of air. But Proverbs 2, verse 6 says, "For the Lord gives wisdom." This is where wisdom comes from. It comes from Him, not from the internet.
Amen.
It doesn't come from all your social media people. It's not going to be on Instagram. There are great sources of wisdom out there. I'm not saying all of that is bad. I'm simply saying if you're not asking the Lord for wisdom, you're looking for it in the wrong place. The Lord gives wisdom. From His mouth, verse 6 says, comes knowledge and understanding. You want to understand what's going on? A relationship with God is where you're going to find that. His powerful word is going to give you the answers to what we need. That's the reason why we're not freaking out while the rest of the world is panicking. We know who's on the throne. God's word has told us exactly how to behave in this time, and we are His sons and daughters. We follow after Him. Our trust is in Him. This is what we do. We were prepared just for times like this because our God has supernaturally prepared us for this. So we don't freak out. We don't give up. We're trusting in our God. You know, I love that God positioned us to talk about the role of technology and how it strikes so much fear and anxiety into people when it's misused. And this week, I believe that the Lord is speaking to us very specifically a couple words, and those words are get creative. Get creative. I want to bring you a message today about creativity in crisis. That's the title of what I'm going to bring to you today, creativity in crisis, because we have this God-given ability. It's part of our nature. It's what God has given every single human being, this ability to create. And you may say things like, "Well, I'm not creative. You don't know who I am. I'm not a creative kind of person." Normally when someone says that, it just means that they can't draw. You are creative. You have an imagination. You have the ability to think of things, right?
Yeah.
You can do this. God has put creativity in your DNA. It's there. And the coolest thing is in times of crisis, if you will get out of fear and panic mode, if you will turn off anxiety, you'll find that creativity is a great outlet to be able to not just pass the time, but to connect back with God. God gives incredible ideas in moments of crisis. And I want to show you this through Scripture, just in case you don't believe me. But I think God wants us to get creative. I think He wants us to speak to the storms of panic. As God is turning up the volume on our church, He wants to make sure that when the spotlight hits you, that you're dancing.
Yes.
That when people are asking for advice, that you have the right advice to give them. And by the way, people don't want you. They want Jesus through you.
That's right.
So know His word. Have a passionate relationship with His word so that you can bring hope and speak to the storms that people are having to walk through. They're everywhere. I believe that God's gift of creativity can bring calm to any crisis. It's just a matter of letting Him speak through you. You know, we can use that creativity that God has given us for evil things. It's actually pretty easy to do. We can get creative and do lots of evil things. We've seen a history full of people thinking of horrible things in creative ways. But and we even see it today on social media. People are just they're finding a lot of pleasure in terror, terrorizing people. We see this everywhere. But when you use it, when you use that God-given ability through God's passion and God's heart, God's purpose, man, it brings health and hope and healing. It even brings humor. You know, there's four H's for you for your alliteration people: health, hope, healing, humor. And I think those things can lighten people's loads. They can help them see that even in times of crisis, God is still on the throne. Yes. It's not time for us to panic, but it's time for us to give people hope. Yeah. And so I want to talk to you a little bit about that today, and just so that we don't take this thing to the extreme. And you know, people will get either really pessimistic or optimistic when crisis hits, and we want to be on the optimistic side because we're children of God, and we know that we've read the end of the book, and this is not how it ends.
That's right. That's right.
This is not it. So that should take a little pressure off if you're thinking this is the end of the world. No, not even close. There's a lot of other things that still have to happen. This is not it. I believe that these are the beginning of birth pains. This is your first contraction, letting you know we don't have a lot of time, but this is not the end. There's still time. There's still hope for you. So let us go towards the more optimistic side instead of the pessimistic side. I heard a quote from Winston Churchill that says, "The pessimist sees difficulty in every opportunity."
Right.
But the optimist sees opportunity in every difficulty.
Come on.
And I believe that is what God is showing us today, is that there is opportunity here to do good. There's opportunity to do incredible things, to get creative in crisis. In the kingdom of God, big problems are just divine opportunities in disguise. This is what it is. And so I researched this a little bit, and I was thinking, okay, who are the people that when calamity was striking, when crises were hitting on different parts of the planet at different times, who are the people that did incredible things? And you may know the story of Sir Alexander Fleming. For those of us that studied history, you know his name. For those of you that got a D in school, like Pastor Chris, you may not know. But he lived at a time where there was disease on a global scale. People were dying of all kinds of infectious diseases, and he made it his mission to try to find cures for these diseases. And so he was studying and practicing, and he got no headway. So one night in frustration, he grabs all of his petri dishes of all the different things. He just throws them in the trash, and he gives up. But a couple days later, when he passes by the trash can, he notices that there is mold that's killing this bacteria. And this is the idea of where penicillin got its start. Thank God, lots of people now have benefited just from penicillin from a time of frustration, but he got creative. And even in his frustration, and creativity was there. Here's another one. You may not know the name of George Demistral, but he was frustrated because every time he took his dog for a walk, he would have to pull stickers and burrs off of his dog. And if you've lived in Texas for very long, you know what it's like to encounter a Texas sticker. But he decided one day, why is it so hard to get these things off of my socks and off of my dog? And so he decides to look at one of these burrs underneath a microscope, and he's noticing that there are tiny hooks on the end of each of them. And this is where Velcro was born. Wow. William Cullen invented the refrigerator, 1755. Thank God.
Yes.
How about air conditioning?
Yes. You know,
it's an answer to some people's needs. Praise God for us fat people.
Amen.
We need air conditioning. Somebody say hallelujah. You know, I love the show Shark Tank, but the best inventions and the best inventors are those that solve problems.
Yeah.
Problems that people have. And I believe that this is simply a difficulty that God himself, through his creative genius and the genius that he has put inside of his sons and daughters, you're going to have divine opportunities and ideas to help people like you've never helped them before. We're seeing this happen in our church. We are helping people in ways that a few weeks ago, I would have laughed at you and said, we don't have the budget for that. I would have laughed at you and said, we don't have the time or the manpower. But guess what? Now we do. It's just a matter of, can we roll with the punches? Can we see the optimistic side of it? Or are we going to sit back and say, oh, there's a problem with every opportunity? Yeah, we could easily find the problems and the things to get mad about or upset about or to get frightful about. That's easy to do. But that's not us. So in Genesis 1, I want to show you that we were creative. We are creative, and we're created to be creative in a crisis. That's a mouthful. In Genesis 1, many of you know this, at the very, very beginning, starting in verse 1, it says, in the beginning, God created.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. It says, he created the heavens and the earth. Now, the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters, and God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called it night. And there was evening and morning, the very first day. The very first day existed because God spoke it into existence. God spoke it through the darkness, what it calls formless and a void situation. This is a cosmic crisis on a global scale, there was nothing here. And God sees something because he's a forward-thinking God. He looks ahead in time and he sees what it could be. And he speaks life and light into something that had nothing. Yeah. God is a creative, forward-thinking God. And he speaks into this crisis and brings light the first day. You know, when God speaks, powerful things happen. God is a God that loves to speak into darkened worlds. He spoke into mine. My world, my life was dark without him. And I'm willing to venture a guess that if you're a son and daughter of God, there's a time in your life where things were dark, where there was no hope. Yeah. We serve a God that loves to speak not only into our world, but into us as people. Right. He speaks light. He speaks hope where there was none. He changes lives. He takes things that were used for something else and redeems them and gives them a new purpose. And this is why I'm here. This is why you're here. We've been redeemed because God spoke life into you. I believe that God is speaking still. He's speaking life. He's speaking light. He's speaking new ideas into people's minds. And I'm believing that all across our church, all across the internet, those that are watching this video, God is going to speak to you great ideas that will help solve problems in times of crisis. You may have the cure for this and not even know it. God loves to use ordinary people in extraordinary ways. I am proof of that. I'm nobody. But God uses people like me and people like you in extraordinary ways if you just let him. He created us to be creative in times of crisis.
That's good.
And then in verse 27, it says, God created man in his image. I was drawn to a couple of those words. You know, the Bible, when it was written, the second half of the Bible is written mostly in Greek, and the first half was mostly in Aramaic or Hebrew. And when you're looking at the words created and the word image, there's two very powerful Hebrew words there that will hopefully bring you a lot of hope and encouragement. The first word, when it says God created, it's the Hebrew word bara, which means to shape or to form, but it's a homonym. If you went to school with Pastor Chris, you might not know what a homonym is.
Pennsylvania.
That's my friends that hang out on the other side of the block. That's homonym. No, that's a bad joke. That's not good. But you know, if you have a word you can use it in multiple ways, that's a homonym. And so I had something that just popped into my head. I was at a restaurant one time with my mom, and we were eating, and my mom had like half the burger that she didn't eat, and the waitress comes up and says, "Hey, do you want a box for that burger?" And my mom says, "Get some gloves, and I'll go a few rounds." And the waitress had the same kind of expression that you kind of did. You're like, "Wait, what? Do you want a box for that burger?" It's a homonym. You know, you can use it in a couple different ways. You can box something in, you can box it up, or you can physically fight over someone. It means a couple different things. And the word bara is very much like that. It doesn't just mean to shape or to form. It's the word that they would use when they turned a quill into something to write with, turn it into a pen. It's also another homonym for when you took a stick and made it into an arrow that they would shoot. And when God supernaturally uses these words, he doesn't just mean that he shaped you and formed you in his image. It's saying you were created to write. You were created to war. You were created for more than just who you are. You were created to be creative. God fashioned you. He purposed you. He's using you to push back the kingdom of darkness in this time. You just have to remember what you were born to do. You are here for more than just watching Netflix on a couch. This is not the time to shrink back in fear. You were created in the image of God. You have his essence. You have his thoughts. They're inside of you. If you have his word next to you, as you get into God's word, God begins to speak into your life. And that's a powerful thing. God's word does wonderful, amazing things when it's inside of each of us. And then it says God created man in his own image. I was drawn to that word image, and I had to look it up. It's the Hebrew word tselem, which means likeness or form or even shadow. And it infers that we were designed, created in God's shadow, like his resemblance. We were meant to look like him, but more than just look like him, we think like him, we act like him, we speak like him. And if you've been born again, if you've had an encounter with God and his spirit is living inside of you, you have this DNA inside of you. And I want you to know that God put his voice into each of his children. Yeah. You have your father's voice.
Yeah.
And I want you to think about that for just a moment, because this is important, that when you speak, you have power in your words to create fear, or you have the power to create hope, faith, calm. You choose. And so as God is speaking to each of us today, you need to remember that He has given you the ability to speak on His behalf as well. I remember when my son's voice changed, when he hit about the 12 or 13, and it was really cool because we got to do something at that time when his voice dropped real low that we had never gotten to do before. And he got to call my wife, who's sitting here, and he got to pretend that he was me. And she remember this? And she had such a hard time telling who was who. And so he would talk to her for a little bit. She's like, "Hey, how's it going, babe?" And then, "Wait, what? who is this?" Because he had his father's voice. And so do you.
Yes.
You have the ability to speak like your father if you choose to. And so I want to give you a couple things to make sure that when you're speaking, especially during times of crisis, that we're speaking as sons and daughters, those that are born in his likeness and his shadow, as the created being that we are, designed to war and designed to be creative. As we're speaking on behalf of God, remember that he wants to speak and encourage people. And so I'm going to give you a couple things. If you're a note taker, number one, write this down. Speak life.
Yes.
Speak life, not fear. There's enough of that in our world. Post life. Let me just update it. More than just speak post life. Post things that are going to help people, not that are going to terrify them even more. You're not Walter Cronkite. You're not Barbara Walters. We don't need to get our news from you. Calm down. Some of you have no idea who that is. Speak life. It's so critical now, but get creative about the message of Jesus and ask the Lord to show you who to speak to, especially those that are losing hope.
That's right.
Our world is surrounded with people that don't have a lot of hope. They've shown that they've put their hope in their money, which changes so quickly. They've put their hope in their job, which, man, jobs come and go. They might have put their hope in their marriage. I know what that's like. And when marriages fail, you're left feeling like you don't even know who you're born to be. And when things like what has happened this past week or two, when these things happen, people lose who they are. And they need God's people now more than ever to speak life. This is not the time to be silent.
Yes. That's right.
Speak up. You were designed to write, to be creative. You're designed to be pen on parchment. God wants to speak through you. I can't speak to all your friends, but you can. Speak life, especially to those that are affected by this. Hourly workers, people in bars and restaurants that was their job, wait staff, people that are having to work and leave their children at home right now. This is a tough time for them. They need you. So this is not the time to sit back and wait this thing out. No, this is our time to stand up and speak life. Here's the second thing. Speak light. Just like God said, let there be light. He shined the light into a dark and bleak world. You know, our world now more than ever is a dark place. And they need the light of Jesus. Jesus himself is the light of the world. So find a way to bring Jesus into your conversations online. Find a way to bring that light into the dark place, because I know this is an especially difficult time for those that are depressed. Yeah. It's really easy for people to isolate themselves. And fear grows really, really well in the dark. Isolation is not good for you. The Bible is very clear in Genesis 2. It says, it is not good for a man to be alone. So if people can't have the interaction with us, you know, physically, let's at least make sure that we're checking in on people and that we're bringing the light of Jesus, bringing some hope into their world. This is critical. Never more than right now has it been so critical. Speak light. Isaiah 9, it was prophesied about Jesus 400 years before he even came on the scene. Isaiah prophesied about Jesus, and he says this: the people that are walking in darkness have seen a great light.
Yeah.
It says, on those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. And you know, as sons and daughters of God, we are joint heirs with Christ, and what Christ did, you can do. That light that is dawning in people's lives can be you if you're willing to talk to people that you know are living in deep darkness. I have been there. Some of you that are watching, you've been there. You know what it's like when your life is just dark. And I remember the people that spoke into my life and gave me hope when there was no hope. I remember people that loved me enough to tell me the truth, loved me enough to say, "Hey, come on, get up, you're better than this." And they held me to a higher standard and made me believe in myself when I couldn't even do it.
Absolutely.
You need people just like that. I needed people like that. Let's be people like that. You were blessed to be a blessing.
That's right.
The people that are walking in darkness have seen a great light. And it's you. It's Jesus through you. You're created in your Father's image. You're created to be creative in times of crisis. So speak life, speak light. And number three, speak help. Be the hands and feet of Jesus. You know, we're gonna wash our hands for coronavirus, and then we're gonna start washing feet. You're gonna see the church right now wash more feet than you've ever done. Now, not physically washing feet, but what we mean by that is serving people. You know, Jesus, on the night that he was betrayed, as we just took communion together, when Jesus showed his disciples about the communion, about the blood and about this bread being his body, Jesus did something fantastic. And it was in a moment where he knew he was about to be betrayed. He knew he was about to be whipped and beaten. They were going to put a crown of thorns on his head. They were going to hang him on a cross naked for everybody to see. They're going to stab him in the side. They were going to beat him and pull out his beard. When all those things that Jesus knew was going to happen were on his mind, what does he do? He washes feet. He serves. He loves in a practical way. You have to remember that. And he washed Judas's feet too. Think about that. They don't have to just be people that you like, but those that don't like you. He washed feet. Now more than ever, we need a church that's willing to get their hands dirty. And so even if we can't meet together and have a big rally, we can still be the church by making sure that we're meeting needs all across the city. Now, more than ever, it's so critical that you continue to support us financially, because we are working tirelessly to make sure that people who have no hope find hope through us, through me and through you. Yeah. So we're working around the clock to make sure that people get help. Yes. And I want you to join in with us. There are people all around you that need help. It's just a matter of speaking life and speaking help to them, letting people know I'm available. If you need me to help, I will help.
Right. Yeah. That's it.
Speak help. If you have something extra that somebody else needs, if you've got two, give them one.
That's right. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's very biblical, by the way. That's not socialism. It's biblicalism.
Amen.
Share with people. This is not a time to hoard stuff up. Come on.
Yeah.
I could point you to literally dozens of scriptures that promise us that when we are generous, God will always take care of us.
Yeah.
He says it over and over. This is not the time to hoard. You're not going to ever find scriptures where it's promising you that God's going to bless you if you just keep hoarding and hoarding and hoarding. That's not in the Bible. I'm sorry. I was talking to you toilet paper hoarders.
Yeah, I'm out.
Proverbs 11 promises us this in verse 24. And we'll put it up on the screen for those of you that maybe not have a Bible with you. It says, one person gives freely, yet gains even more.
Wow.
Yeah.
And then it says, another one withholds unduly and comes to poverty. God's word is pretty clear there. It says, a generous person will prosper, but whoever refreshes others will himself be refreshed. Here's a promise from God with an incredible premise saying, hey, if you're going to continue to hoard stuff and be stingy while the rest of the world has nothing, God looks at that. He remembers that. And the next time that you're asking for stuff, God's like, nah, you turned a deaf ear to my people that were around you. I'm trusting you. You have more than enough. All of us do. We've been blessed, incredibly blessed. You're not missing meals. Thank God. But there are people that are. There are people that are locked in, that don't have hope, that don't have their next whatever taken care of. We can meet their needs.
That's right.
This is what we were made for.
That's right.
Speak help. And then number four, speak hope.
Mm-hmm.
Hope. Speak hope for the future. Some of the greatest words in Scripture are the words, it came to pass.
Right.
And we say in church circles all the time, this too shall pass. Remember this. It's going to pass.
Yeah.
But people will never forget those that turned a deaf ear to them when they were in a moment of crisis.
Yeah.
They're not going to forget that. And we are not going to be that church that turns a deaf ear. We're going to help as many people as we can possibly help. Our answer is yes. This is what we were born to do.
Yeah.
Yep.
Speak hope. I love that God looked at a bleak planet and he looked past the darkness and saw what it would be. And he said, this is good.
Yeah.
This is good. This is an opportunity. This is a divine opportunity. This is not the time to sit back and chill.
Mm-hmm.
Get up. Let's do something together. You know, while the world screams panic, we go against the grain and we see possibilities. We're thinking of new ways to serve God's people. Things are changing daily around here, but we're coming up with creative ways. I am surrounded by some incredibly creative people that were born for just this moment.
Yeah.
We are thriving because God has positioned us supernaturally to handle this and to do well, to thrive in times of conflict and crisis. This is who we are. This is the church. And I'm proud to stand next to them and say, this is what we were born to do. Join us. Be a part of this. Don't give up. Don't give in to fear. That is not who we are. It's not who we are. That's not who you are. That's not the kind of person that you're going to show your children. In times of crisis, where do we go? God's word. In times of crisis, what do? We become the hands and feet of Jesus. It's who we are. It's what we do. We're not panic hoarders. I believe with all of my heart that the world has not yet seen the church at its full power yet, but it's about to. It's about to. And I just want to speak that prophetically to those that are listening and watching all around us. It's time. The church has never been at full strength, but it's time. Wake up. Be a part of this. Get in on this. Don't fall backwards. Give. Pray. Serve. Love. This is what you're trained for. Speak to the storms that are around people's lives. Post things that will help people. Post things that will encourage. Share this message online. We would be so honored if you would do that. But bring help and hope to people. This is what they need. I wanted to finish today, but I'm gonna ask you to do a couple things, and then I'm gonna share a word with you. The two things I want you to do is number one, if you're willing, I want you to make a video. And in your video, we're gonna let people see your life and how you're dealing with this crisis that we're in. Let people see that you still have a smile on your face. Let them see you cooking. Let them see you jogging. Let them see you hanging out with your wife or with your husband. Show them videos of your kids. Open up your home virtually to people that are in your world and show them that you're not panicking. Show them that you're redeeming the time. Show them how you're being creative in times of crisis, because it brings something other than another news report of 50 million people that died. This is what our world is surrounded with right now. Show them who Jesus is through your family. Make a video. Your house doesn't have to be spotlessly clean. No, but just be you. Just be you. We're looking for passion for Jesus, passion over polish. It doesn't need to be polished. Just show people you. Be authentic. People can smell fake, by the way, a mile away. I'm not the most polished speaker. I don't have the greatest look. Somebody tell me I'm wrong.
You're so wrong.
No, you're definitely right.
With friends like these, who needs enemy?
That's right, baby.
But what we are as a church, we're authentic.
Yeah. That's right.
I'm me. Yeah. And God likes me. He likes you.
That's right.
Yeah. Be a light. Make a video. Let people into your life. Make a video of your family. This is what we're doing. This is how we're dealing with coronavirus. This is how we're redeeming the time. And it shows people that this is the church. We're not panicking. We're here to help. Second thing is make a phone call. Not just a text. Not just getting somebody to reply online, but make an actual phone call or a face-to-face FaceTime thing with someone that you haven't seen in a while or that you haven't seen on social media. Allow the Lord to speak into your heart and show you people that have distanced themselves. Our world is full of isolated and depressed people right now. They're afraid. They need a phone call. They need somebody's voice. And find a way to work Jesus in it. Pray for them. This is the church. You can do this from home. You can do this in a couple minutes. You got a phone in your hand anyway. But I'm asking this Sunday morning, all across all of our High Ridge tribes that are gathering, all of the different media outlets that you're watching, make a video and post it to your social media. Tag us in it, because we want to see it too. And then let's start sharing these videos around of this is how the church responds in times of crisis. Make a video. Show us your family. Show us that you're not panicked, that you're not freaked, out, that you're worshiping God on a Sunday morning. This is what the church is going to do. Make a video, make a phone call if you would. Let's pull together. Reach out to people that you know are hurting. Give them 5 minutes of your time. I want to ask you to do those two things. And lastly, I want to close with this. In January, we had a prophetic presbytery service. And if you don't know what that is, or if you weren't able to be a part of that, we invited two people that have a prophetic gift into our church. We asked them to speak on behalf of God over some people that they've never met, and they gave some powerful words. And at the end of that prophetic service, a man named Wayne Drain, and I'll tag him in this video, he spoke a word over this church. And the word that he spoke was for the year 2020, this year, and he spoke exactly about where we are today. He spoke to this situation and told us what we were supposed to do. And we have been clinging to that word as elders, as staff, believing that God has supernaturally positioned us here for this moment. Yes. And I want to read you this word, and you judge for me whether or not God knows what he's talking about. Okay, so the word says this. Check it out. 2020 is a year of victory. It says, I heard the phrase against the grain. I feel 2020 is a year that the Holy Spirit will lead this church to go against the grain of normal expectations of church. Here we are. Is this normal? Nope. Welcome to the new normal. He says this. Most expect the church to be some quiet place for people who only venture outside their walls to help the poor or the less fortunate. To minister to the poor and the less fortunate is a worthy practice, and that's never going to stop. But there is a pressure in our culture now to silence the voice of the church. In the name of political correctness and from a secular influence, they're trying to silence the voice. But guess what? When the enemy tries to silence the church, we go mobile, baby. Just as the first church did, when the pressure, political pressure that came down upon them, when they began to have to meet inside homes, they couldn't meet in the temple anymore. Read about it in Acts chapter 8. What happens? The gospel goes to the ends of the earth. Yep. Satan thought he could stop the church. It just went mobile.
Yep. Right.
It got better.
Yep.
I could go on. But it says the enemy's trying to silence the voice of your church. Check it out. But 2020 is a year of victory. He says it again. And by the way, he says it five times. He says, I see the volume knob on your voice as a church being turned up to speak peace to the storms of anger that are raging all around. You will go against the grain by speaking peace to the storms with a loud voice. My friends, that is you. This is not a prophetic word over me. This is a prophetic word over us as a church. God is turning up the volume knob on your voice.
Yes.
And you are supposed to speak peace to storms.
That's it. Yeah.
This is who we are. Yeah. It says this, it's a time to let your faith rise up and resist the grip of fear.
Come on.
It seems that people everywhere are influenced by the raucous noise rising from angry pop culture prophets peddling their fear and anxiety, just like the taunting prophets of Baal. But like Elijah learned, 450-1 is not a fair fight when the Lord of heaven leads that one to speak on his behalf.
Right.
God, the Lord of heaven, is leading you to speak on his behalf.
That's right.
And we're going against the grain.
That's good. That's right.
This is what God has prepared us for. You were built for it.
Yes. Yep. Come on.
It says this, 2020 is a year of victory. It will look different as we move forward. Welcome to different. Plans, policies, procedures, they're going to have to adjust to go against the grain of church as usual. Mm-hmm. As usual in 2020. But we must move from maintenance to mission.
That's good. There you go.
I'm challenging you to move. We're not in maintain mode.
That's right.
I'm going to say that again. We are not in maintain mode.
That's good.
Right.
We're in mission mode.
Right.
You're a missionary. Rub some dirt on it. Get up.
Yep.
Let's go.
Amen.
2020 is a year of victory. It's a Joshua time to focus on the land that the Lord is giving you in this season. Like the sons of Issachar mentioned in 2 Chronicles 12, ask that you might discern the times so that you will know what to do. And ask the Holy Spirit to show you how and when to raise your voice and toward which storm. And by the way, this is not just one storm. This is the first storm of this year. There's more storms coming. Get ready. We're not in maintain mode anymore.
No.
This is your time to shine, church.
Yeah.
It closes us out to say 2020 is a year of victory.
Yes.
Yes. Declaration and proclamation prayers are going to rise up from your usual prayers of supplication, meaning that we're not going to be just asking God, God, will you supply my needs like everybody else? Lord, help me. I need this. No, sorry. He said declaration and proclamation prayers.
That's right.
You're going to start declaring stuff out in faith. You need to hear this today. We're not asking God for anything. We're telling God where we need him to move.
Good.
And he's moving on your behalf.
Right.
He's given you this word to hang on to. Declare it. Proclaim it out. Speak it into existence.
Yeah.
Speak life. Speak hope. Speak help to people. They need this.
Yeah.
It says, make it your aim to become champions for Jesus in this hour.
Yeah.
Even if it requires you to go against the grain of what's normal. This was written on January the 10th of this year. This wasn't written yesterday. This wasn't written at the beginning of coronavirus. This was written in preparation for us as a church to go back to the Word of God when things got crazy.
That's good. That's right.
So we have a word, my friends, and that word is going to sustain us and going to push us on towards victory. Yeah. 2020 Amen. Is a year of victory.
Right.
We're not maintaining. We're moving on to mission. Get ready. Get involved. Yeah. Stand up. Do something. Don't waste another minute. Push. Push. Push back the kingdom of darkness. You were created to be creative in a time of crisis. I love you and I'm proud of each one of you. I want to close us out with a word of prayer. And I want you to know that if you don't know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, my friend, today is your day. If you've never asked Him to come into your heart, nobody's ever told you how to do that. I'm here to help you right where you are. I want you to pray. Just repeat this after me. If you don't know Jesus, just pray with me. And the prayer goes like this. Jesus, I believe that You are the Son of God. I believe that. I believe that You came and died and rose from the grave just for me. I believe that You came to forgive me of my sins. You came to save me. So, Lord, I give You my life. All that I have, all that I am, belongs to You. Would You come into my heart? Take over. Forgive me. And save me. I give my life to You right now in Jesus' name. Amen. My friend, I'm so proud of you. If you just prayed that prayer with me, I would love to hear from you. Please reach out to us online. Log on to our website at highbridgechurchlv.com. And please let us know what just happened inside of your heart. Send us an email. Contact us and say, hey, I prayed that prayer with you. I asked Jesus Christ to come into my heart. We would love to send you some things that would help you and encourage you and bless you. And my friend, if you've been part of this church from the beginning, let me just tell you, things have changed. But God is still on the throne. And the Holy Spirit is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus Himself is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And just because things look different doesn't mean that God is silent or absent. He spoke. He prepared us for this moment. It's time for us to get on with it. I hope that you're with me. Hope you don't faint in the times of crisis. Don't stop giving, please. Give in faith. Support us. Help us. Be a part of this. I love you so much. On behalf of all of us from our brand new worship center, we say, have a wonderful, blessed day. I love you. God bless.